Doc, if you could pull that one up, we'll share that. We'll go through it. If there's any questions that, you know, we can't handle today or we need to go back to the DMG, they again, we'll strategically talk about how to layer them in and get the most out of our time. There is a charge per meeting, so, you know, we'll have to layer in six-hour meetings when we call them here.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the enrollment report from them.
I would It's Friday. It's the DMG Ansonia Derby Temporary Regional School Study Summary of Savings Pre-K through 12. It was a standalone document. Yeah.
Got it.
Thank you. Doc, can you zoom that in so old people like me could read that? Is that good for folks, or do you need it bigger? How's that working?
Works.
That's good.
Okay. So again, I won't. You know, I don't necessarily need to read it all, but I know the committee has it. But for folks in the public, I think we're up to over 20 people. So we'll just say that the table below is kind of where DMG. Got the savings, so it's kind of a two-pronged document. One, it tells you where they got the savings that they used in the task one report, and then two, they tell you how an equalization document, they broke that down into the savings per town. So they will tell you that all savings come from reduction personnel, and they're based on the lowest salary. So if, in the case of the special education area, I just picked that one out. So the director of special education, they retained the higher cost, and they used the lower cost as a savings. I truthfully have no idea which town makes 132 and which makes 95, although I think I know, but I don't want to, you know, clear, I'll just point out that they used a higher cost, and whichever of the two towns had the lower salary, that moved into the savings bucket. In their mind, they were being conservative with savings. So, again, for the public here, we'll go a little bit slow. Not that you need us to, but you haven't had the benefit of seeing it. So, superintendent, they go from 2 to 1, and you see the cost, the savings, and the after cost. The assistant superintendent, the ELA consultant, the math consultant, and the director of curriculum, we currently have 4. They proposed eliminating 2. And they propose keeping 2. Special population leadership, the director of special education, they go from 2 to 1. Pre-K director of early childhood, same, they go from 2 to 1. Business office, they go from 7, and that's the business manager, the assistant business manager, the constable, the grants manager, you know. For the folks from the public, you see the list there, school business administrator, human resource data analysis. We go from 7 full-time positions. They're proposing that we would cut 3 and keep 4. Operations and facility, each town has either a maintenance manager, facility director, and they're proposing zoning from 1 to 2. And again, the higher salary is the keep and the lower salary is the savings. IT food service, technology, IT director, food service, cafeteria manager. We are going from 6, 3 IT folks, 3 food service folks, to 3 and saving 3. And again, they're proposing going from 3 tech ed IT managers to 1, and they're proposing going from 3 food services. I'm sorry. So they would save two. And I want to correct myself. IT, they're keeping two. It would be a savings of one. I'm sorry. Clerical staff, they go from 9 folks to 6 folks, and then they would propose and they would project that we would save 3 positions at a savings of $127,000. That takes you, again, everyone, all the folks see here, that takes you to about $1,000,063 in staff savings. Doc, let's slide down with it. I'll go through and then we'll put it out there for input, I guess. So now that was just kind of the central office piece. Now they go to the school-based leadership. So in the 4 elementary school models, you'd go from 5 high school principals, assistant principals. You'd go from 5 to 3, and you would save 2, 1 principal, 1 assistant principal. Middle school principals. You'd go from 4 middle school principals / assistant principals. You would keep 3. You'd go from 4 to 3. You'd save 1 elimination of a principal, and there you see the savings. And in the elementary school, they were projecting no savings. There'd be 5 principals / assistant principals, and there would continue to be 5. So that on top of the $1,000,006, that ties in, that adds on another $379,000. In the 3 elementary school model, you would the high school is the same savings. The middle school is the same savings, but in this option, you would save 1 elementary school principal, and that's a $517,613 savings. And now you start to see the difference in savings between the 2 models.
Can I ask a question there?
Sure.
If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. The new assistant principal at Derby Middle, isn't that paid for through the grant and the commissioner's network? Is that accurate?
The difference between the dean position and the assistant principal position, the net difference between the two is paid for through the grant.
So how are the commissioner's network funding accounted for in here? So Derby taxpayers currently are not directly feeling the impact of some of the human resource salaries right now due to commissioners network funding at the state level. Is that accounted for in here, or are those numbers in here as if we're currently paying for that? Do we know?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Sorry, there was background noise. My understanding is that we are simply talking about the overall costs. The funding aspect of it, we have not even addressed. And it's one of the things that Jim and I had discussed bringing to the committee, because I think as we get closer and closer to making a decision, I think one of the parts of this, and I'll bring it up now, Jim, and we can talk about it later, but is starting to get the legislative delegation and our respective mayors and boards of aldermen involved in going to the state and trying to see what our funding is going to look like, how it's going to shift, if it's going to shift, if it's going to change, both being Alliance District, you guys having the Commissioner's Network funding available, what is it going to look like and what are the incentives, if any, to regionalize the different impacts of it overall. So I think that's kind of one of the things that we have to discuss is, what the timing, you know, what time frame do we want to start to reach out to not only the legislative delegation but respective town hall to try to get some discussions going with OPM or the governor's office and the legislature in general, trying to see what the funding is going to look like overall. So just to sort of recap is that I understand this to just be a cost savings estimate as opposed to dealing with funding in any way.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I would agree with Joe on that, and I would definitely agree that at some point, listen, there's a 20. I mean, so everyone talks about the $1 million or $2 million a year potentially in savings, right? there's a $20 million cost, right? And so that piece, again, I think we have to have some legislative discussions about for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I will say is, and sort of generally speaking, in some of the conversations that I have had is that, and I understand this as generally just having those conversations, is that because we are both alliance districts, neither district is at real risk of losing that, but it is a grant, and a change in circumstances can definitely change a grant. So you have to keep that in mind as well. But because we're both alliance districts at this point in time, we don't really run a risk right now, currently, of losing that grant money. So just to kind of put that in perspective, Tara.
Thank you.
All righty. Okay, so going back to the elementary school model, kind of put it out there. We already mentioned the $517,000 savings or projected savings. Sliding down a little bit more, staffing changes, other, other district-wide staff, crossing guards, psychologists, maintenance staff, substitute teachers, homebound teachers. So they shared staff share across, they did not include those. They do, sliding down a little bit, high school general education teachers. They did not project any savings there. Middle school general education, there's actually some additional spending. And I believe that's the one of the school, I'm not sure both are 6-12. And then the elementary school, they kind of offset that. And I think that's to align the middle schools in both communities, 6, 7, 8.
Jim, can I ask another question? Yep. I'm sorry. So
sure,
If you could scroll back up two charts, one more chart, please, right there. So maintenance staff, psychologists, crossing guards, substitute teachers. So I know it's a low ticket item, but I'm not sure where they got this information from, but I know the city of Ansonia pays their crossing guards through the police department funding. So I'm not sure why that's included in educational funding. Where would they have gotten this information?
I think what they're saying, Tara, is that other district-wide staff, and they're including crossing guards. I don't know how Derby pays their crossing guards, whether it's out of the educational budget or the police budget, but I imagine they're trying to do something that's even across the board. So including crossing guards, because if it comes out of the Derby education budget, the psychologists, the maintenance staff. So there, that's why, I think that's why, another reason why they're also saying exact full-time employees unknown and the cost savings unknown. They're predicting no change across the board.
If I can
add something to this.
Yeah.
Sure, Rich.
Ansonia is actually paying through the Board of Ed now.
Oh, is that new?
Yeah, because if you pay through the police department in the summertime, they're eligible for unemployment. If you're paying through a school system, it's seasonal work and they're not. So that's been shifted, number one. I believe if you look at the total costing that they used with this, which was $38 million approximately for Ansonia and $22 million for Derby, those numbers are all inclusive, and I believe they include all grants and in-kind services. So all of the pieces of the puzzle are in here for that $60 million combined Ansonia-Derby number, and it's both what the city is allocating and what the grants coming in through educational grants are adding. Massaged, I'm sure, but in approximately that $38 million approximates Ansonia's $32 million and about 5 or 6 in grants. So I'm assuming Derby's along the same lines with that.
Thanks for clarifying, Mr. Bechera. The only reason why I thought I knew that was because my mom has been a crossing guard in Ansonia for 41 years. So I know because I used to see her paychecks. So I just, I was just curious about that particular line item. Not that it's a big line item, but it just made me wonder where they got that information.
Yeah, I mean, we still pay them. Our SRO is through the PD. Still,
right.
There's a bunch of different crossovers, and I'm sure Derby has similar things with insurances and various other crossover costs. But I believe through in-kind, it all gets plowed through into the totals that are used in here.
Got it.
Okay.
And again, not to reiterate what Joe said, I think that they did not focus on funding source. And now the grant is a different dynamic because a grant, you know, in theory is no cost. But if it was city funding or board ed funding, maybe they were operating under the assumption that it was funding to the city. But again, I know that they, and I agree with Joe, that they did not take into funding sources into account, which again, on the grant stuff will be an impact, and the savings may not be as great as projected here.
So I can tell you that the Crossing people in Derby are paid through the police department. It's been like that for years. You know, they get their paycheck from the police. Although we don't have the police in our schools, we have our own, for the better word, private security that we have. We go through our that's funded in a different way out of the education budget. You know, so I think that the SRO, the Nansonia, play it out of the police budget, Rich?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so in Derby, we don't. We have that SROs in Derby in, I don't know, 20 years, 25 years.
We include that as part of the in-kind services for the EDO one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so, all right.
Thank you. Good question. Grace, listen, not yet. And then if there's any questions we feel we're not sure about or we need clarification about the grants, again, we'll have a discussion on bringing DMG in. But again, we've kind of tried to make a commitment to Norfolk Valley Council of Governments that we're strategic with that, and we bring them in twice, separate from 2.3 in the workshops. Okay, Doc, can we slide down a bit? So there's other staff, and again, no proposals and savings. So contractual changes. So they show you the salary changes. Moving to Derby's contract, and they show you the benefit changes moving to Derby's contract as well. I want to say that if you look at the financial piece, though, hang on.
Hey, Jim.
Yes.
So this is all contingent on if we have to hire, not us, the regional school board has to hire an attorney to find out what Joe talked to about the salaries and everything. It's a separate entity, so it's a new district, these would be all new employees. So, this is good if, you know, the changes, if we go in Ansonia's contract, the Derby's contract, but once we find out from an attorney, or the regional school board finds out from an attorney, it could be no salary changes and a whole brand new salary structure.
Yeah, so what's interesting about this sheet is the $987,030 is projected as a savings. The $437 is a cost because our salary structure is higher. I think what they're saying is by moving to the Derby contract, there would be a savings of $549,514. And again, I mean, George, I hear your point, and you're right. I mean, they've made the assumption to go to the higher salaries, the better benefits. But you're right. There's no way that they're knowing now that that's how it will end up. But they are just saying that in their task one report, when they were over the when they came to salary, that's how they did the work. But again, okay. Your point about the negotiations is taken and noted.
Thank you,
Jim. It's Barbara. They Hi, actually Barbara. in the first in the task one report said that they couldn't indicate what savings or costs would be because it would be a whole new negotiation and a whole new salary scale. So to me, this may be a misrepresentation to anybody that, you know, in the public starts looking at this. I mean, I don't know how, and maybe the opinion, not the opinion, but what, I mean, I don't know how we could, how we can even give any indication because it's an unknown. So I just don't want it to be a misnomer out there that, you know, this is what we're going to save or this is what we're going to, because you don't know. And honestly, you're going to have, you have less employees working, doing more work. You know, it's a whole, it's just a whole new negotiation, a whole new contract. So, I mean, it's kind of fruitless to even, you know, but we should just be clear that, you know, we don't know. And people have to understand that we don't know.
That point noted for certain, you know, when you, I hear you for certain, because when you start to see these costs, and that's the downside, you know, and I'm not, you know, being critical of DMG or anybody, but, you know, everything everybody has automatically went to and focused on was their initial report that had, you know, hey, you'll save $700,000 if you do this. You'll save, you know, $1.1 million if it's a, you know, 9 through 12. You'll save $1.4 million if it's 6 through 12. You'll save $2 million if it's, you know, with Core Elementary School, and you'll save $2.4. But you're right. I mean, in theory, we haven't really fleshed out these potential savings. And in addition to the contract, and I don't want to jump the gun or get ahead of myself, or, you know, for instance, I think cutting special ed down with no support staff is probably not correct either. And there's a buck in the savings there, you know. And so my point, well, I agree with you guys for certain who've noted that the negotiations are not a real savings. I think that's fair. And I do think that there's a few other savings in here that are projected that we'll have to talk about as well.
I would agree with you, Jim. And I think I took this more as a possibility, kind of looking yeah. at it from the, you know, the with the existing contracts, if a similar contract was negotiated, these would be your projected savings. So that's kind of how I interpret it. But I agree that, you know, I see other things in here that are projections that are kind of, you look at them and you say, well, you may end up with less of a savings there or a little bit more in different areas. So,
yeah, for what it's worth, I would love to just jump in and agree. I have to say, it's really hard for me to look at these projections, truly difficult to look at the projections of the cut human resources at the central office level and at the administrative level. I bet you if we were to ask Dr. DeBacco and Dr. Conway, do you have any extra clerical or any extra administrators sitting around that you think we can cut? I'm fairly certain they would say, no, nobody's sitting around. And so just because we might be combining doesn't mean that there's less work to do. And so to see that there's, you know, less clerical in the proposed model, less central office staff, working in a school system, and there's five of us, I think, on this committee who work in a school system, that just doesn't add up to me. It almost makes me laugh a little bit, because it's really easy to write that on paper, but when you're doing the work, it's not feasible. So, you know, I look at this and I can appreciate, Joe, you saying like it's a possibility. And I almost don't really see that aspect of it realistic.
Tara, the only thing I would say is that, well, I hear your point. I think it's a fair one. The only thing I would say is that I'm looking at it through the lens of, I don't think anybody can say what a combined district's going to look like and the needs of that particular district. You're looking at it from two separate entities and talking about putting them together. So I hear what you're saying, and I agree that if you ask Dr. Joe or Dr. Conway at this point in time, do you want more or less? They're going to say more, right? But they know what the needs of their particular district are as they sit here right now. So once you get to the point where you put that district together, I'm looking at it from the perspective of, yes, these are the potentials, but you want that regional board to be able to make the calls and the administration of that regional board to be able to make the calls on some of these things. So while these projected savings, I look at them as just projections. I think you're going to probably cut into those in some areas, but I also think, you know, there's other potential places for savings, you know, specifically in the area of special education, when you're talking about out of district costs. I think there's the possibility in a regional district of possibly keeping more of those students in district, and possibly of a greater savings there. So I think it's a kind of, that I guess I just bring that up to say is that I don't think any of us, you know, any the 10 of us right now, we're going through this, and I agree with what everybody has said, is that these are projections, and you got to kind of look at them, and you know, not through rose-colored glasses necessarily. So I would just throw that out there.
No, I hear you. It's just that it's beyond the 10 of us, and not many people from the public come to our meetings. So it, what concerns me is what goes out to the media is a blanket number of, oh, look at how much you can save. But then it doesn't really feel very accurate or realistic to me because it's based on projections that I'm not sure are actionable. So that's just what concerns me. I think when we look at documents like this, and then you read an article in the paper, and the article in the paper makes it look like lovely. And it's not as, in my opinion, the human resource aspect of it doesn't seem as realistic or lovely as sometimes it's portrayed. That's just my concern.
I just want to add, if you don't mind, that I agree. Tara, that's one of the parts I picked up on, and it's going back to the first page here, particularly where it talked about central office and senior leadership. I thought that was very light, and those are big ticket items. I thought we were a couple, I think we were going from 5 down to 3, and that included assistant principal, I mean, assistant superintendent, ELA director, math group director, all that. So that was light. And again, you're talking at least a couple to a few hundred thousand there. And savings that won't be there. But as Joe and a few others were saying as well, I look at this as a guide too. It's going to change so much once we really start to narrow it down. But when you're talking to, you know, the positions, $150,000, it sometimes, even one or two, makes a difference. And as you say, presenting to the public, you know, we don't want to put out this big number now and then show, you know, when it comes time for a referendum, it's half or less. So that's why we have to be careful. But I think everybody is put that asterisk on these numbers pretty well tonight, saying that it is just a guide and very preliminary.
I think an asterisk in the media would be great too.
Chris, I like the asterisk kind of analogy for certain because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think we're saving $2 million, but the hope is that it's not going to cost us $20 million, right? And the hope is that we'll go to the legislators and there'll be a balance. I think one of the things we have to do is refine both sides of it, right? We have to refine the savings piece because they just gave us what it could look like without the knowledge of the people who work in those towns and understand what we still need. And so, to me, I think we have to refine both the savings that, as they currently are listed, are probably not going to be as much as they are, and hopefully we'll be able to refine the costs, which won't be as great as what they are. So I think we have work to do on both ends for certain.
And with the contracts, I mean, that was the simplest form that they could give. I mean, realistically, as it was said too, is, you know, it's going to be a whole new union. They could start, the contract negotiations are going to start really from zero. Sure, they can build some of these two contracts, but it really could look a lot different than what we're looking at right here.
Yeah. I still.
Good. I'm sorry, whoever wanted to talk. I apologize.
It's me, Richie. I just wanted to throw my two cents in here with this too. The numbers that they're projecting are, in my opinion, optimistic at best. It may be attainable in a couple of years, but I would almost think that none of this savings would be attainable in year one and two through the transition. There's got to be a transition cost just to implement a regional setup. So to me, you're going to need more people, not less up front, just to make it happen. And then maybe down the road, you can start to trim things down a little bit. So I think their numbers are a little bit there. And one of the things that we need to remember here is that these numbers are pretty much a snapshot in time, which that time frame was 2 years ago. And that this thing has changed so much. I mean, Ansonia has renegotiated their labor contract, their insurance basis is a lot different than it looked like before. Costs have been moved and shifted all around to accommodate savings from one end and increases in other costs. So we got to be cognizant that this is just a snapshot in time, and realistically, it's a guide, but nothing more than that at this point.
And I would just add on to that, Rich, because I think that's a great point. Is that that first year of a regional district, and I think that's why the statute contemplates that. They talk about how there cannot be any decreases. So even if there is realized savings and any, through what they're laying out here in the summary of savings report, you're still going to have the same minimum budget requirement So even if you were able to realize a $2 million savings, those additional costs that you're talking about for additional staff to help with the transition, to put everything in place in a new regional district, I think that's sort of built in to what those statutory requirements, which is the email that was sent out from our attorney Ben Horst up at the State Board of Education, which I think alludes to that. So you're right. In that first year, I think even if you did realize savings, they were going to be put right back into the district.
Excellent discussion. Doc, I think we have a couple charts coming up, folks, but I think it might be easier. They're all explained better, Doc, if you keep going. If the committee's okay, you'll see the same exact data. Keep slide down a little bit more. All this data is explained. One more page right here. Okay. So central, and this will go over all the utilities, and they'll tell you how they got to the utilities. Oh, can you go back up a little bit, Doc? Can you go back up? This explains all those charts. There was no explanations there. It gives you the bottom line, but here you go. So I won't read it all to everybody, but you'll see central office administration. You already saw the summary cuts. School-based administrators, we saw the cuts there. And again, this is excellent data. I won't go through it all, but school staff salaries, if the regional district adopts Derby's contract salary and benefits, there'll be savings about $500,000 because Derby salaries are higher than Ansonia's. But the benefit cost is different. So I mean, that makes that where you came up to $500,000. School utilities, just a few other ones that point out, that stand out. School utilities, they're projecting savings of either $382 or $696. There's a slight increase in utility costs at Ansonia High School and Derby Middle School, but obviously it's offset by, you know, the Derby High School closing, which is all electric. If you slide down a little bit more, school-based savings, maintenance, PD, they had $129,000. I'm sorry, Doc, there's the utility, folks. It's either $382 or $696. Explains it to you where they come up with that. If you slide down a little bit, Doc, they projected $129,000. That was a chart that we went through. School-based savings, maintenance, curriculum, technology. Marginal 5% savings on system-wide costs were calculated to account for redundant purposes. System-wide costs, another marginal 5% savings. Special education in district costs. With more students in special education, cost of programming, especially severe needs programming, can be reduced by combining similar programs. So when you looked at all the different savings, that's where they came up with. Now, Doc, if you slide that down, Mr. Brashura, I think it was the one who asked, total cost by city. In a regionalized school district, Ansonia Derby will contribute an equal per pupil amount to the operating budget. This means that savings by city are comparison to the current per pupil spending in the two cities. And that shows you what we currently spend. And then it's, that's where they came up with the total spending. It shows you the $37 million for Ansonia and the four elementary school option of $20 million for Derby based upon the per pupil expenditure. And there shows the savings to the Ansonia and Derby. And the four elementary school option, Ansonia would save $716,191 if all these savings were in fact reality. In a three elementary school model, that savings would go up to $992,000. Derby would save $2.123 in a four elementary school option, projected in a three elementary $2.279.
I'm not following this for some reason. Today when I was reading it, I was trying to do the math and subtraction. I don't see where, what numbers are they using to get to this total savings? I can't follow the numbers here. I mean, what are they use? Aren't they using these charts? Is it me? I mean, I don't know what I can't follow it.
They're using Barbara. My understanding is they're using the total numbers from the chart right above it to break these down in the various different savings between the two cities. If that's the question. So in other words, in that top upper chart, there's a total in the three elementary school model of $3,272,228. And that $3,272 is broken out in the three elementary school model here in this chart in the total savings in Ansonia and Derby, with Derby saving 2.279 and Ansonia saving 992.
Where were you getting the 3 million number from?
In the chart right above it, the one where that Jim just went through.
Yeah.
There's no specific number.
Oh, up there.
The bottom line totals, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm looking at the, you know, that box is on the last page. They've given those numbers at the safe. And I didn't look at the 3 million number. I'm looking at just at that page, trying to figure out the numbers, and they weren't matching. All right.
Now, if you slide down a little bit more too, back, we go back to the keep going. So right there. Going up. So on their graphs, I took it to be that the 37,000 is the operating, had to do with the operating costs as well. And that they tried to go from currently Ansonia, and again, I'm in full disclosure, I was going to certainly recommend that we have this discussion with them as well, and this would be one of our discussions with them. But I took it to mean that, as well, that if Ansonia currently spends $16,302 per pupil, so in a four elementary school option, they're going to spend $15,994 per pupil. In a three elementary school, they're going to spend $15,875. If you took the amount of pupils in the school system and you subtracted the 1632 minus the 1594 or the 1587, the $15,875, you would then come up with what the savings would be overall. So, Ansonia's going to contribute $37 million. And they currently spend $16 million. The reason why it's a greater cost for Derby is we are going to pay the same $15,594.34, the same thing, in a four-minute school option. But our per pupil is going to go from $17,617 to $15,994. So that, when you figure in the savings, that's why ours is so much more dramatic, because the per pupil dip is so much more significant. Ansonia's going from $16,302 to $15,994. Derby's going from $17,617,000 to $15,994. That's how I took it to be, me personally.
No, I agree, Jim. I think that's how they broke out that total spending chart, but the total savings chart, I was just indicating, come from the numbers above in that above chart. But the total spending, I think you're right. I think that the total pupil per pupil is put out during the current spending in each district, and then broken down between the four and the three.
Right.
Hey, Jim.
So, yeah.
Jim, can I make a comment on this or ask a question, please?
Sure.
You know, I wanted to just explore the juxtaposition between the savings and the comments made earlier regarding the minimum expenditure requirement. Did I understand correctly that the minimum expenditure requirement would be the average of the current Ansonia and Derby MER the first year?
That's what the lawyer from the State Board of Education indicated, Steve, yes.
Right. So, you know, I just want to put this in a slightly different context. You know, given that this would provide a regional board or us, if we chose to, with a lot of flexibility regarding these expenditures. Having said that, you know, I think the MER basically tells you how much you have to spend. It does not define what you spend it on. And I think these administrative savings hopefully can be maximized in a manner that would enable us to, or a new regional board, to improve the education offerings of the school system. You know, I think we're really looking at the question of how do you staff a school system of 3,100 to 3,500 students. It's a relatively small system, even once the districts are combined. You know, we may want to look at or ask DMG to look at a couple of districts in Connecticut of that enrollment and what positions do they have, how much do they spend. But I'm hoping we can keep those administrative savings, you know, as robust as possible in order to improve the educational program within the boundaries of the MER, which would, you know, create a situation where there would not be a tax increase, at least the first year in either community. I just wanted to offer that perspective.
I'm trying to process that. So your point is, hey, if I understand it, and I'm just trying to clarify in my head, hey, let's look at another 33,000 school facility and, you know, find out, you know what their staffing looks like or what program they're adding or what program they're offering.
Well, yeah, I think for anybody that wants to add things into the central office, that would be a good exercise. Yeah. But my major point is, you know, these savings are important to us because given the MER requirement, there are really what the only thing that enables us to improve the educational program. In other words, we're going to make administrative savings by eliminating the redundancy of two central offices. And I think our imperative then is to put that money into a better designed school district that offers a more and better quality services to its students.
I would just ask a question for clarification. So when we did the program of studies, though, in theory, and I'm not making the elementary school any less important, but and we added potentially added in a certain amount of programming that we said we would be able to offer at the high school level, additional lessons, additional AP class. You know, there were certain programs that we were able to offer. And again, in your, I mean, I'm just asking, so are there in that program of studies or that we kind of thought worked for us now, are there other programs that you thought were missing either at the elementary level, at the middle school level?
We've done so far is to say that I believe the guiding principle has been everything that is offered let's take the high school as an example. Everything that's offered in Ansonia High School will be offered in the new high school. Everything that's offered in Derby High School will be offered in the new high school. So that increases the scope of offerings that students can distribute themselves across. Now that is very different than saying, for example, we're going to have a K-8 gifted program, or we're going to offer a language or a pathway that is currently not offered in Ansonia or Derby High School, or we're going to have more guidance services at the middle school level. So I think what we're depending upon to do those kinds of things, and I think the question is whether or not we're explicit on that in our recommendations, or you leave that to a regional school board. But really, this is the eliminating the administrative redundancy is the key to improving the educational quality of the school system.
If I could just weigh in on two things, if I could, I agree that some of the inherent administrative savings that we'll realize are important. And I agree that. I also think, though, and I'm just going to use IT for an example. I also think that we right now don't have enough IT people. Right now, our IT folks are working 12, 14 hours a day. I know some of that's COVID related, but You know, they're just spread so thin. So I do think there's some strategic areas here that we cut too far, specifically IT and specifically special education. I just see the, again, and by the way, we have actually two special education positions, although I guess, you know, we have one who does the lower grades and one who does the higher grade, you know, grades. So I'm not entirely sure that that document was accurate. But I was going to save that for the next, you know, kind of the next step is to kind of have, you know, review that where we might add in. But again, and so I guess that's my point is there are things I think we need to adjust here on the savings, because I do think it's savings with an asterisk. But I would also say though, and again, I don't want to rush this by any stretch, but we are 2 years and, you know, 8 months, 9 months into this, with a, you know, 16 month window to complete. So there's also part of me that thinks we've done the program study body, but I'm all for, and would be a proponent of saying, hey, let's add in, you know, let's add to the, listen, here's the program of studies at the high school, but we didn't add in language at the middle school. Let's add that in. Or, hey, we're merging two school districts. There's not enough guidance, or there at the elementary school. Like, there's no guidance in Derby at the elementary school, right? And maybe there ought to be. So, I mean, and I'm not trying to make this simpler than what it is, but can't we just kind of come together as a group and say, hey, here's what's missing. What's missing is guidance at the elementary school. Let's layer that in. What's missing is a foreign language at the middle school. Or at the elementary school. Let's layer that in. There's we think we've cut too far on special ed. Layer that in. And I'm not trying to make it simpler than what it is, but can that be the answer? Or not?
Yeah. So I think that's a good answer. My point is that, I think that you know, any addition of administrative costs, because, you know, we're in a reality where every school district feels that they are underfunded at the administrative level. There's no question about that. People are working very hard. COVID has certainly exacerbated all of that. But given the MER requirement, you know, you've got several million dollars at minimum here of savings that far exceed any transition costs. And so I think you're right. I think this is, you know, I think probably the final concluding aspect of our work is to say, how are these savings going to be used, and how can we best improve the school system by using them? And I hope we, you know, I hope we can get beyond the status quo of just, you know, having enough IT people, or, you know, having enough special ed people, to say, you know, to impact some of the things that students are offered.
If I may.
No, I'm 100% on board. I guess I just, the you know, sending this back up to DMG scared me a little bit. And full disclosure, because again, we are, you know, we're and I had thought that we had, for the most part, reviewed the body studies. But I don't want to minimize the IT part, because, you know,
Jim,
having enough computers, having enough support to fix those, having enough PD to help our teachers. I mean, that's a critical part of it, I would say, of education. I don't mean to, you know, I almost felt like you downplayed that, the importance of that. And I probably wouldn't do that. I would say that is important. So when you say just an IT or just special education, to me that downplays that a little bit, because I do think they're more than just IT or just special ed.
I wanted to add in, Jim, if I can, is that what I'm hearing, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, is that, and I agree if this is what the sentiment is that making recommendations as to sort of how these savings would be spent, and making the proposals. I'm gathering that's where it's going. What I wouldn't agree with necessarily is trying to handcuff a regional board and making the calls, being in on the ground level. So if you know, the groundwork being that, you know, the MBR is going to be set with what it is the year we go, if this passes and goes into it, whatever that MBR is set from the previous year from both districts, that is what the regional district is going to get from both communities. They're going to realize a saving, whether or not it's, you know, savings with an asterisk or savings with whatever. If you're going to see a $3.2 million savings with as written, I think both of you are right. From my perspective, is that Jim, they're very well may be a need for additional IT. There very well may be a need for additional special education. And I think our recommendations would be to look closely at these particular things. But I think that the benefit of doing it this way and having a plan laid out is that the district, once a regional board is elected and actually put into a place, if that's what happens, they get to start determining where the needs of the district get to be placed, either following our recommendations, looking at it from Dr. Adamowski's perspective of an entirely new design of a middle school, getting completely away from the Ansonia perspective, the junior high school model, and going towards a middle school model, and really trying to work that in. And that very well maybe need, there's going to be unanticipated costs. Maybe you need a specific person to come in. You need to hire a consultant to do a new middle school curriculum built around that. I don't know. But some of those cost savings could be spent in that way. So if that, I think I'm hearing from both of you during the conversation, and I encourage everybody else to chime in, is that that's what we're suggesting, making recommendations, not necessarily going back to DMG, because I share in your fear, Jim, of going back to that and going back and asking for a rewrite of the program of studies. Is that?
No, but if I could just say, if I wasn't clear, I mean, I agree with Dr. Adamowski for certain in that we spent four meetings, maybe five, going over the program of studies. I mean, it was a lot of body effort went into that. I agree with him 100% that if there's things that are missing, i.e. Language at the elementary school, i.e. guidance at the elementary school, I mean, whatever those are, and I trust him. I mean, he's got a great educational background. If there's those things that are missing, I'm just saying we as a committee should layer those recommendations in. Because I think there's two things here. One is whatever the next step here is, we can't claim savings that aren't realistic, A. By the same token, we shouldn't move forward with a body of studies that doesn't, you know, add in the things that we think we should add in. So, again, I mean, I was just one of, I thought the next steps here, and I'm getting ahead of myself on the agenda item, is for the group to see, you know, what they think may be missing, to come back with thoughts or recommendations. So if Dr. Adamowski thinks there's things that we should be adding in, then we should have that concrete list. And we as a group could say, you know what, we agree with the program of studies, but Dr. Adamowski's right. Let's put a foreign language in the elementary school as a proposal.
Jim, I think another approach, you know, would also be to just designate several million dollars in the budget for program improvement and leave that to the new regional board. I'm just concerned that that we have savings and that, you know, the majority of those savings are directed toward improving the educational program.
Got it. Fair enough. And again, I really don't disagree with what Dr. Adamowski said. Okay. All right. So we went through, I think, the finance chart.
Mr. Becerra's hand is up.
Tara, go for it.
Mr. Becerra's hand is up.
Rich, before we get off of finances, I want to just throw a couple other points out at you if I can.
Yep. So,
are you getting ready to leave finance?
No. I was going to open it up for any. I was going to say, now that we went through the document, does anybody have any questions, anything you want to raise? Just, yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a couple of points to talk about. Again, this is a point in time that we're looking at. And again, I believe the numbers are optimistic in that Ansonia is looking at maybe $1 million and Derby's $2.3 million in savings. So again, I believe those are optimistic, but I'm looking at the effect of projected enrollment and what that impact would have on the towns or the cities. And if I'm reading the enrollment chart that you provided, it would say that Ansonia is probably going to be stable at about 22, 15 or wherever it is for the next 10 years, but that there's a potential 25% reduction in the enrollment from Derby. And as that projected,
Rich, can I just ask you what chart you were? I mean, I have the what, before you're looking at real quick. So I have to just open it. I'm sorry.
The temporary, the demographics and enrollment chart you sent.
I think that reduction was only in one of the schools though, like the middle school or something.
No, if you look at the projected enrollment for the next 10 years. Let me get the right page for you.
Yeah, well, I have all the, if you give me the page, I just want to be able to follow along with you. That's all, sir.
Yeah. I'm looking at page 30 for the Ansonia Public School projection details. Maybe that better chart. Hang on. Look at page 30.
Okay, I got it. I have it. It's in the Ansonia Derby Temporary Regional School demographic enrollment. I got it. I'm on page 30. I'm good.
Pages 29 and 34 is a comparative.
Yep.
Ansonia is at 22.14 for 18-19, and for 28-29 is at 22.06 projected.
I see that on page 29. I'm with you.
That's pretty much level. And on page 34, Derby is at 1264 and projected to go to 960.
I see that.
Okay, so, and it could be the other way. It could be an increase, but in this scenario, what that will do, if we assume that 58 million we're spending now was constant, and that's what we spent for the next 10 years, the effect it would have on the two towns or two cities would be that Derby's overall expenditures would go down probably by 2 million, 2.5 million, and Ansonia's would go up by that corresponding $2.5 million just to compensate for the change in enrollment. And that.
So your point.
My point is for Ansonia, keeping a constant enrollment, their cost will go up if costs stay the same. And in Derby,
right,
they will
pay benefit. A percentage. Okay.
Yeah, and they will, in Derby would benefit from the combination. So it's something that needs to be considered is all my point here. Because if we take that number and then add to it projected cost increases and additions that we're talking about, the numbers could be significant after year one or over time for one time, one city or the other. And you don't really know, but you need to at least have that as part of the process of thinking as to where that's gonna take you in the future. If everything else stays constant, because the enrollment would be decreased on one side, or it wouldn't be a proportional increase and decrease for each town, then the percentage allocation changes.
Now, Rich, just to be clear about that, there's two points that were made in the information that that you're going to see from Attorney Benhorst discusses the MBR requirement under 10-262J. And there's a change. There's change in circumstances language in that particular statute with specific dates applied that actually discusses in a regional district situation when enrollment decreases in one town over the other. And those specific dates are actually, I think it's October 1, 2018. I'm not looking at it, but I think one of the dates is actually 2020. So any regional district that we form would actually not apply there, but that same formula readjusted and allows the MBR to be adjusted as well.
Well, the MBR will adjust, okay?
Yes.
In theory, as you reduce total enrollment across the region, then the MBR goes up. I mean, it's a straight calculation,
right,
of total cost divided not by the number of students.
But my point is that it's not necessarily an increase of cost to a district whose student population remains stable, because it's being done by a per pupil basis cost. So while our percentage would be greater if Derby's student population decreases, it doesn't necessarily decrease the cost, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, could I just ask a question about that, though? So I think if I understand Rich's point, I understand about the MBR and year one and how it's calculated. But let's just say, and I'm going to use this round number here for a second. I think Rich's point is, hey, in year one, Ansonia might save 997, Derby might save 2.2. But in year eight, in that year one savings, let's say Ansonia has 64% of the population, Derby has 36. I think Rich's point is, hey, in year eight, Ansonia may now have 75% of the population. Derby may have 25. And regardless of what happens to your MBR, once your 37, your $50 million budget now, I'm just using round numbers, may actually be $60 million then, and because, you know, the cost of the utilities goes up, salary contracts go up. So I think this point is Ansonia will continue to see their annual per pupil go, you know, their annual contribution, their 64% may go to 68%, may go to 70%, may go to 72%. And I think his point, maybe we should project this out, the savings, potential savings out over 5 years, or I don't know if that's what he's saying, but I think that's the point you're making, right, Rich?
I think that we should at least look at that kind of information. And I would just use the 58 million constant number, or add a 3% across, increase per year, or do something that makes it a constant number. But just look at what that would do based on the enrollment numbers. And that's all I'm going to say. I just want to bring that out so people have think about that. My second question.
Well, listen, in Derby, Rich, over the last 3 years, we've averaged 0.8% increase to our education funding. So we might want to use Ansonia's increase.
I just used the same number.
I took a shot at our tax board, Rich. Never mind.
I just used the same number for 10 years saying, if all things were constant across the board, what would the effect be? And that's where you really see it.
I get it.
But anyway, just food for thought on that. My other one, I know you already hollered at us and said, we can't talk about revenue, but I'm big on the revenue side of these projections. And so I had questions like, you know, the ECS, does that go to the city or to the region after a regional thing? As part of that ECS, Alliance money is in there. Does that go to the region or to the city? And because we're both Alliance, is it incremental, or would they maybe give us less overall in Alliance money and priority school district and Title I and all the other grants that we're cumulatively getting? If we go to a region, is there a reduction in revenue because we're regionalized versus independent? And so,
you know, Rick,
puzzle could negate all the savings we get on the expenditure side, depending on what happens with the revenue side.
You know, Rich, and I would put this out for Joe too, just as a food for thought, you know, although DMG has a hefty price tag to come to our future meetings, Matt Benhorst is free to come to our future meetings. So, you know, I guess in some way we're paying them, you know, out of taxpayer money. So I guess we're paying for them, but maybe Joe, we could have Matt come to one of our future meetings to go over that email and to, you know, answer some of these questions for us.
I think that would be good. I don't think Matt, however, and then this is sort of the segue that I alluded to earlier, Rich, is that I don't think anybody's Matt or anyone else other than the, you know, OPM, the governor's office, and the legislature are going to be able to answer the question about the grants and what the and a decrease on the revenue side like that. I think he'll be able to answer the statutory MBR questions and how sort of that stuff breaks down. But I think I really do truly believe that we need to approach our legislative delegation, OPM, and see if there is any we can determine, get at least a picture of what that revenue side is going to look like and any incentives. I mean, it was a hot button topic, you know, over the course of the last 2 years. specifically at the state with the discussion about forced regionalization and versus voluntary regionalization. And we did it the statutory mechanism and we were already in play. So I think it's worth having a conversation to see if the goal is to try to get districts to regionalize. We're studying it. We're looking at it now. What kind of incentive is on the table from the, you know, from the governor's office and from the legislature to sort of put that carrot out there to try to get districts and entice them to do so. So
it would be nice if DMG could put out a paper that says the state needs to contribute 20% of our total budget in order for this to work efficiently and correctly.
Yeah, well, I do think, and we saw we're so few agenda items away, but I do think when we talk about item number 10, TRSSC next steps, I do think that I think maybe that is time to as Joe mentions, and in fairness, you know, we had talked about this and he had talked about this before, is trying to reach out to our delegation. So I wrote that down as a number 10 topic as we move forward, you know, our next steps. Are there any other questions or comments about the financial piece?
Hey, Jim.
Anyone wants to bring up?
Jim.
Yes, sir.
So just real quick, I know I think it was either Rich that brought up about looking at other school districts that have the same total enrollment as we do for
that
regional.
Dr. Adamowski.
No, Dr. Adamowski. So I did that while everybody was talking there. So from Monroe has 3105 all the way up to Windsor is 3257. It runs between 58 million and 67 million, their total school budgets. I mean, that includes North Haven, Vernon, Avon, Guilford, Windsor, North Haven. So 58.5 is the low, the 67.4 in Windsor is the high. And that's between 3105 and 3257 school enrollment. So that's what everybody else is doing.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Jim, just one other comment on the finances. I think we have, you know, part of the answer relative to the ECS and Alliance grants. The ECS is always received by the towns, by the cities, and the cities will use that to offset their share of their contribution to the regional district. The Alliance grant, in contrast, and it will be like, it will be hopefully an amount that is in combination or exceeds the total of the two current Alliance grants, that goes directly to the district. So that will go to the regional school district. That is true of Title I. It's true of the priority school district grant as well. So in general, the grants will go to the district. The ECS will continue to go to the municipalities, with the exception of the Alliance grant, which technically is part of the ECS, but it goes directly to the district.
To the side. You're not.
Thank you very much. Any other, and again, if it's agreeable at the conclusion of our finance discussion, I would like to just quickly jump ahead or at least end that discussion on what we feel our next steps are for finance. And then we'll go back, and I know I'm jumping over the enrollment and demographics, but while we're hot on the finance discussion, so on our mind, I'd like to at least do the next steps there.
I do have one more point. Forgive me for for just thinking about this a lot, but I can very much so appreciate Dr. Adamowski's philosophy of taking administrative savings to enhance program. And I do respect that ideal. I personally in 25 years have not experienced a district who cut their curriculum support staff in half while providing a new and enhanced and cutting edge curriculum that's robust and to the envy of others. So to me, they kind of are opposite of each other. You do need curriculum staff at the central office level and at the school level if you want to have new curriculum, cutting edge curriculum, and new programs. It's just, it's necessary to provide the supports to teachers and students. So I just, it's just my experience in over the past 25 years. And to Mr. Becerra's point about the projected enrollments, I think that I've been looking at the projected enrollments and I have a hard time, trusting projected enrollments just based on as recently as 2004 in Ansonia, the Board of Education in 2004 requested $225,000 from the tax board because their brand new high school was already almost at capacity. They were 5 or 10 kids short of capacity and they needed 4 portables at the high school and 6 at the middle school. And that was within 4 years of building a brand new high school. So if we have projections 10 years out, which I know Ansonia had then as well, and within 4 years, they all of a sudden needed 4 portables at a brand new, beautiful high school, and the middle school was also bursting at the seams several years later, it does make me question, I know that there's a science to these projections, but it does make me question the projected enrollments. So I do take that with a grain of salt, just based on that happening. I specifically remember talking to Mr. McAllister, who was my vice principal and principal at Ansonia High School around 1999 or 2000. And he was talking about the high school is gonna be huge and we're gonna have all this extra space. And I was like, oh, that's great, Mr. McAllister. And then 4 years later, we're at tax board meetings asking for more money because we're bursting at the seams. So as much as I appreciate all the work put into projections for enrollments, I take that with a grain of salt as well, because it doesn't always hold true.
Thank you. Any other comments on the finance piece?
Yeah, I wanted to, I started to say this about an hour ago, but I was on mute and then here we are. But
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to agree with a lot of what's been said. I agree with what Tara just said regarding the curriculum piece. Like that was the one that jumped off the page in terms of the central office cuts, where I just didn't think it was probably realistic to be having robust programs put together and trying to improve them, and while you're simultaneously making, slashing your assistant superintendents and your curriculum directors. And I thought that was probably one where we're never going to see that those savings. But I also agree with Dr. Adamowski and his overall vision of, trying to at least start with the goal of saving as much by being efficient as you can. And then I think that's our charge, is build back where we think it's important. And it's not going to be every single one of those things doesn't need to be one for one, staying there. But I mean, I think there are savings in there and there's other spots where we're not going to save. And I think that's what we need to do is sort of hone in on those specific ones that we just won't give up on. So I don't know. That's it.
Okay. Well, I do think, and I agree, and I appreciate Dr. Stewart's perspective. So I do think for me, one of the next steps, and this is me personally, and I don't know if everyone agrees, but for me, I certainly recognize that there'll be a regional board of education, right? But I also realize that, for now and for we take to the community, we have to ensure that we're improving the educational program, saving where we could. So I do think, in my opinion, I think we have to kind of finalize these projected savings or finalize these positions. So, I mean, I think that we should, and listen, we just saw it tonight. I mean, we let it soak in, but I think we ought to come back and say, hey, maybe we reach out to our respective superintendents and say, hey, these are probably not areas that we could cut. I agree with Dr. Stewart and Dr. Adamowski. There were areas I do think we could cut and should cut. So there are savings there. There's administrative savings. There's utility savings for certain. Derby High School is all electric, right? I mean, so I think we just have to, and I said it earlier, hone in on the savings piece of it for certain. What are we really going to save? And to Dr. Adamowski's point, What do we think we need to layer back in, and then or recommend? And then I think to Joe's point, I think we do have to. And Joe and I have talked about it, so it's in next order, kind of putting it on the table. I do think Joe and I should probably reach out to our legislative delegations, you know, OPM, see what incentives are out there, see what help is there for the 20 million side of it. And so I think kind of that's where we are. I think we have to, over the next week or two, to our next meeting, decide what things we think we could live with, what things we think we are realistic cuts, and then start the 20 whittling or working on 20 million pieces.
Hey, Jim, to Tara and Dr. Schuert's point, I think this curriculum area is the one that does jump out at us in terms of needing, you know, perhaps greater capacity. I'm wondering if we could get the advice of our two respective superintendents on that issue, and maybe they could reach out to a couple of the districts that Joe mentioned that are similar in enrollment to the projected enrollment of the regional district, including North Haven, and see how they organize their curriculum and instruction capacity.
I can't take credit, Steve. That was all George.
That was George. I'm sorry.
The research.
I'm sorry. I meant to say George.
Well, listen, that's all right. He didn't give you credit for your one thing either. So
I did. I thought.
Sorry, George.
That's okay.
I'm just.
I wanted to add one thing and just on piggyback on what Tara said, Jim, real quick, is that I think Tara's point about the enrollment projections is fair, and I think even more so right now in light of COVID and sort of online learning, homeschooling, and things like that. I don't think anybody can accurately predict what student enrollment is going to look like in the next 2 to 4 years as we come out of a pandemic. Okay, hopefully when we do come out of the pandemic. So just that's something, another, you know, another feather to put in the hat, I suppose.
No, I agree. And I would like for you to remember that when we have the three elementary school discussions. No, I'm just
okay.
No, I'm just playing.
Cuts both right. Ways.
No, I'm playing. All right. No, listen, we've had a lot of fun here. I mean, listen, we're doing a lot of heavy lifting, stressful stuff, and we've been able to laugh and have fun through it all. It's all good. Okay, so is everybody agreeable to asking our superintendents to review the same? Let me ask them first. Dr. Conway and Dr. DeBacco, are you comfortable, you know, over the coming weeks, just taking a look at these lists, the savings list, and see if there's anything that jumps out at you, anything that you find are concerning, anything that you kind of would sign off on? I hate to put you both on the spot, but is that something that the two of you both feel you can work in over the next couple of weeks together?
Yes.
Call me up and we could do something together. We could play nice in the sandbox and have fun together.
Nice. That's good stuff. I can tell
you. So, a couple prayers.
The prayers.
Okay.
Prayers. Yeah, that's what he said.
Prayers.
That's one half of I'm sorry, that was something caught me up.
Jim, are you possessed?
Is that somebody's TV? Hello?
Right. Jim, how you doing, Jim? Nice day.
I'm sorry, I heard it. Okay, so is that one piece of the next step option? Is everyone agreeable and okay with Joe and I reaching out to some of our legislative delegation, OPM, the governor's office, and just working that area as well?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay.
What is the specific purpose?
Yes,
absolutely.
Well, I would say the purpose is that right now there's a potential $20 million cost to regionalize, whether it be additions. And so I guess the thought would be is, should we reach out to our legislative delegation to understand if there will be any incentives to whittle away at the $20 million?
I would even go further than that, Tara, is that not only for the possible construction costs, and a reimbursement, seeing if we can garner a better reimbursement than what we're going to get on renovation costs, but also to see if there's any incentives for regionalization that we can get towards ECS dollars, you know, per student and things of that nature, is to see if we can try to get some help for the regionalized district to cover some of the things that we're talking about here.
Thank you.
Are you, Jim and Joe, are you guys aware of any other schools in the state that are actively exploring this? Exploring regionalization? There aren't, right?
There's not a, to my understanding from what Matt told me, is that there is not an active, there is no, there are no two communities or three communities that are actively studying it and have activated the protocol under the statute.
Yes. Yeah, so to that point, the, you know, they made a lot of talk of either forced regionalization, and, you know, here you have two towns that are actively looking at it by choice, and it gets down to how bad do they want it? And this could be a model, you know, example for them to have other towns, you know, going in. So, you know, I think there's got to be something in it for us collectively. Otherwise, why are we doing it? How bad? Yeah.
No, listen.
Let's do all this stuff, put all this effort in, make all these sacrifices, and help you out, and then you're going to cut our funding. Like, this doesn't make any sense. So there's got to be something that works for us as well. So, you know, I highly endorse this plan to, you know, take it up the flagpole, and good luck, guys.
Thank you. And then I would also ask everybody on the committee from now to next meeting, if there are obvious, listen, so we spent a bulk of time on the program studies, but you know what, the elementary school and middle school, you know, maybe there's things that we are, we've missed. So if there's anybody who, and I think Dr. Armowski had some wonderful suggestions. So if there's any obvious misses, program misses, let's be prepared to bring those forth at our next meeting. Okay. So that's kind of the finance and budget. We're in a good spot for future discussion. Review enrollment and demographic data discussion, folks. We're an hour and 40 minutes into this. You want to stay on the finance topic and come back on December 2nd, whatever that first Wednesday is. You want to forge ahead with the enrollment and demographic discussion. What's the wishes of the group?
Well, you're probably going to spend an hour there. So either we commit to going another hour or we defer it.
My preference would be to defer, but that's just me.
I think it's probably helpful to defer as well, Jim. That's my two cents. I think that fresher eyes on this in a discussion. We've done a lot done, I think, and had a very good discussion on the finance aspects of it. I think the demographics go hand in hand with it to a certain degree, but so that's my preference.
Mike, too. Anybody have any objections to that?
No.
No.
All righty. So PRSS next steps. I know I already talked about that. We'll talk about Matt Benhorst talking about the MBR, the budget. Joe and I are going to do the legislative thing. Doc and the two docs, the two superintendents of schools are going to get together and do the programming thing. Or the staffing piece, and then if anybody on this committee has any program suggestions, we'll bring those forward. Anything else I've missed on TRSS? See you next steps.
The only other thing I would add, Jim, is it was what Rich brought up. Do we want to look into that sort of a projected savings budget, or at least bounce the question off Simone?
Yep, he asked. That's a good point, Joe. Thank you, sir. Okay, so we'll add that to the list for certain. All righty. Item number 11, points of good order. I'm going to tell you, we've done a lot of stuff, a lot of heavy lifting. I appreciate the humor and the sense of getting along together. It's awesome stuff. I hope each and every one of you have a phenomenal Thanksgiving and a safe Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you.
Same to you, Jim.
You too, Jim. You too, Jim.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I have a question.
Happy holidays.
Point of good order.
Point of good order. It's open for everybody. Rich, you're up, sir.
I'd like to thank Mr. Gilday for his very good presentation of data on a monthly basis. I'm very impressed with his organizational skills.
Aw.
That's very nice. Thank you, Rich.
What do you want, Rich?
Huh? No,
what do you want, Rich?
And if I'm not organized, and when I see it well organized like that, I'm very impressed. So
I give lot of thanks that Jim is the one that does that, Rich, and it's not left to me. So thank you, Jim.
I appreciate that. I do, and I really feel like we're excellent team, and we get along together really well. And so Joe and I talk. I feel that way about everybody for certain. Joe and I spend a lot of time in between meetings talking. We'll have a conference call together on Wednesday. So, we do a lot of stuff together. So I appreciate that as well. Thank you. Oh, my God. If this wasn't a Zoom meeting, I'd hug you, every one of you. All righty. Public portion. Anyone from the public who wants to weigh in? Going once. Anyone from the public going twice? Everyone from the public going three times. Okay. Item number 13, adjourned.
Ooh.
Oh, Mr. Shure. Is there a second? Second, Mr. Kurtica. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Have a good night, folks. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow, Jim.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know.
Thanksgiving.